Easy Natural English with Liam, an English listening podcast. Hello everyone, I hope that you're doing well, and I hope you're ready for another 20 minutes-ish of English listening. And today I'm going to be talking to you a bit about moving internationally, because if you listen to the last episode, then you'll know that I am moving back to the UK after almost 6 years in Japan. And after a long time of living in lots of different countries, I finally decided to go back and live in the UK, at least for now. Maybe permanently, maybe not, we'll see. But throughout a lot of my life, I have moved between country to country, and it's a bit of a difficult process, can be a bit of a pain. So today I'm going to talk a bit about what you need to do, what experiences I've had, and what kind of things I need to prepare now before I move back to the UK. So let's get into it. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I think even in the last episode I mentioned this, then you'll know that I've lived and worked in several countries. And, you know, I've always done this without much planning. You know, in the past when I was younger and when I was just a single man, or perhaps I might have had a partner, but I didn't have children, so it was much easier when I didn't have children. And I used to often just pack up and be like, okay, I'm moving to this other country, and then I would sort those things out when I got to the other side. So it used to be a bit easier, but even back then, there was always a lot of stuff you had to do when leaving one country and going to another country. You know, a lot of those things revolve around money, you know, so things like closing bank accounts and opening bank accounts and sort of finalizing taxes in one country. And then when you get to a new country, you need to get your tax number sorted, or your like social security number, and all those kinds of things. So yeah, this time we have to do all of that stuff again. It's actually just coming up to the sort of tax period in Japan, so I'll be able to do my taxes just before leaving Japan. And then I need to get somebody to be my tax representative for next year, or for anything that might come up in Japan with taxes that you know, I might need somebody to sort out for me. So I need to get somebody to be my kind of representative after I leave. And yeah, that is, you know, I want to do that because, you know, in the last episode, I was talking about reasons why I don't want to raise my children in Japan, but I still love Japan very much. That's why I've lived here for a long time, and I still like it very much, and I still like living here very much. So maybe in the future, who knows, there might be, you know, there might be a day when we decide to come back to Japan. So I definitely want to make sure all my yeah, things like taxes and all these legal things are sorted out, because, you know, I don't want to have any trouble in the future if we do decide to come back to Japan. So it'd be nice to have that option available. So yeah, I'm making sure now to sort of finalize all these kinds of things, and yeah, make sure all these things are in order. I'm not going to close my bank account. I think officially you are supposed to close your bank account. You are meant to close your bank account, but my bank account doesn't have a kind of monthly fee. I don't pay any charges on it. And as I said, I might want to come back to Japan in the future. And also, like, there might be, you know, some people or some places. There might be some kind of money still coming somewhere from Japan into that account. So I want to keep that open just in case of anything like that. It might be useful to keep a Japanese bank account because, yeah, there's no need really to close it. And I've done that in the past in other countries where there wasn't a fee for the bank account. I just left it open because I just thought, well, if I go back to that country, I'll use it again. So, for example, in the UK, the country that I'm from, I've always had a bank account there since I was a teenager. I've always just left that account open. Being as I have family in the UK, that's always been very useful for times when I want to send money to family or receive money from family, or for things like even buying things from like amazon.co.uk, from like the British Amazon website, to send things to my family. So it's always been useful to have a bank account, and that's going to be useful now I'm returning to the UK. That's one less thing I need to do. I don't need to go and set up a bank account because I've got one already, and also I won't need to set up an insurance number or a tax number, which is something I mentioned earlier. So like all the other countries I've worked in, I've always had to go and go to like the tax office or some kind of city hall and get some kind of number to use for paying taxes and for claiming health insurance and things like that. Even when the UK was still part of the EU, and I went to work in Holland and Portugal, I still had to, and in France, I still had to go and set those kind of numbers up and do that kind of thing. So even though at that time I didn't need a visa, I still had to go and register, you know, that, hey, I'm here and working in this country now. So there were still kind of things that I needed to take care of. So in those European countries I was just talking about, at that time I didn't need a visa because the UK was still part of the EU, the European Union. But unfortunately now, because of Brexit, the UK has left the European Union, and now I would need to get a visa if I wanted to live in another European country, which is very annoying. But at that time I didn't need to get any visas. But my wife did. My wife is, she has dual nationality. She has American citizenship and Japanese citizenship. And she had to get a visa when we lived in Spain. So we had to go through all that process. And it was very annoying. And yeah, the staff at the visa office, they're always very rude and not very helpful. And, you know, it was always a pretty horrible experience. And then I had to do the same here in Japan because, there's no sort of working relationship like that. So when I came to Japan, I needed to have a visa as well. The first time I came to Japan, I actually came on a working holiday visa, which I have mentioned working holiday visas before. And I've said to you guys that, you know, if you're the age to get them, which is usually under 30 years old, I think some of them might be 35, if you can get working holiday visas, you should really take advantage of those because they're really great and a really easy way to go and live in another country. So yeah, I used a working holiday visa the first time I came here. But when I came back to Japan with my wife after we were married, then I got a spouse visa. And that wasn't too complicated. That wasn't too much of a headache. Another way to say that something is a pain, another way to say that something is annoying or hard work, you can say that wasn't too much, you know, that was a headache or that wasn't a headache. That wasn't too much of a headache getting a Japanese visa. The nice thing with the Japanese visa is my wife and I could move here. I could come on a holiday visa, and then I could apply for the spouse visa, which is a visa for a husband or wife. But the UK is not so simple. In the UK, you have to apply for the visa before you go. So actually, you know, it's not possible for my wife to be in the country or in any country, actually. She had to be in the country that she was applying from. I think that was the case. So she applied with her Japanese passport, you know, because the visa would have to be put into one of her passports. And as I said earlier, she has two, American and Japanese. She chose to use the Japanese one. So she applied from Japan. So I think the rules were that we had to stay in Japan while we were waiting for that application. And it can take a very long time. It can take up to 6 months. So it can be a really long time. So for people who, for example, you know, one, the British partner might need to go back to the UK to work suddenly, and they might have to wait 6 months before their partner can come and join them. So it's a pretty terrible system, really. I think the Japanese system is more fair, where it lets you just come and then you can apply once you get here. I think that's more of a fair system. And the UK system is a lot more difficult in a lot of ways. So one way in which it's more difficult is you have to be earning a certain amount of money. In Japan, you have to show like your finances. But I think, if I remember, I think even if you don't have very good finances, even if you don't have good jobs or you're not making much money, they'll still give you a one-year visa for your spouse. And then if you're earning more money, then they might give you 3 years or 5 years before you need to apply again. But I think even if you don't have a job, you can still get at least 1 year. And then you have to just keep applying every year. It'll renew and you'll have to keep applying. But, you know, at least you don't get broken up from the person that you love, which is a horrible system, I think, in any country. So the British system is very bad because there are a lot of couples, you know, who obviously love each other and want to be together and are being separated by this system where they have to earn lots of money. They have to wait for 6 months before they can, like up to 6 months before they get the visa. There's just lots of ways in which they make it very difficult. The visa is very expensive as well. When I got my visa in Japan, my spouse visa, I think it cost about 6,000 yen or something, which in British money would be about £40. But the UK one is about £3,000 because it costs £1,500 for the visa, and then you must pay £1,500 for healthcare access. So it ends up being about, it's more than £3,000, which is a lot of money. In US money, that would be about $5,000. I think in euros, it's close to 5,000 euros or something. So it's a lot of money for a visa. And then that visa lasts for about 2.5 years. And then you need to pay that again. And then after 5 years, you can apply for residency, and then you need to pay, I think, about the same amount again. And then if you want to pay for citizenship, you have to pay more money. So it can end up costing, you know, more than £10,000 to get residency, permanent residency or citizenship. So it's a very expensive, difficult, time-consuming process. So for us this time, moving to the UK, that has been the biggest hurdle. A lot of systems in the UK, if you're British, then they're pretty streamlined. You know, they work pretty quickly. So my daughters are eligible for British citizenship because they're my daughters and I'm a British citizen. I could get them, their citizenship, and I could get them British passports. And that was very quick and easy and not so expensive. Very smooth process, and it was really easy. But then getting my wife's visa was much harder. But even though it required a lot of paperwork and things, I do appreciate still how smooth things work, because I mentioned before that, you know, Japan is very convenient in lots of ways, but when you need to do paperwork, it's not convenient. Everything takes a really long time and it's very old-fashioned. You know, there's many things that I have to go and do in person. Whereas I think most countries these days, including the UK, you can just do everything on the internet, and the website is very modern, very easy to use. But in Japan, you often have to go to the office and fill out lots of paperwork, you know, by hand, in pen, the old way, and you have to use a stamp, which is a very old system. You have to stamp things, and yeah, it's all just very time-consuming. The thing that I always get kind of annoyed about in Japan is needing to write my address many, many times. So, you know, if I go to the city hall, they know my address already because they are the place that registers my address, but they make me write my address on every single form. And I think, you know my address. You are the people that have the register of my address. Why do I need to write my address 4 times on one application form, you know, for one thing? I'm applying for one thing and writing my address like 4 times. It doesn't make any sense. You know, I think, yeah, in the UK, if you are doing something, if they know your address, they won't ask you for it. And if they don't know, they'll ask you to write it one time. And then if there are other forms, they'll just cross that out and say, oh no, you don't need to write your address because you wrote it on this one. You know, there's no need to write that again. But in Japan, when you get given an application form, usually they want you to fill out every box, even if there isn't really a reason to fill it out. So that's something that makes doing these things in Japan even more time-consuming. So yeah, I'm not looking forward to some of the paperwork I need to do before leaving Japan. Like I mentioned earlier, I need to set up like a tax representative, and I'll have to go to the city hall to tell them I'm moving out, and yes, things like that. And it's all going to be very annoying and time consuming, I think. But yeah, that's just something that I'll have to do, and my wife will have to do too, and we'll need to do that for my children as well. And then another thing that's going to be much more difficult this time, in terms of moving internationally, is moving and traveling with 2 young children. Because yeah, in the past, it's just been me, or perhaps me and my wife or something, and we just jump on the flight and watch some movies, fall asleep, wake up in the next place. But this time we have to make a lot more preparations. It's going to be hard work traveling with children. We have to think about every step of the way, about like getting to the airport, you know, the whole long flight. One of our flights will be 14 hours. Then we have to think about getting from the airport the other side, and you know, just things that you don't really think about. So for example, you know, my mum is going to pick us up in the UK when we get to the UK. My mum is coming to the airport. Very nice of her to pick us up. But you know, we will need car seats. You know, children can't sit, you know, small children can't sit straight in the car. They have to have a special seat, a car seat or a baby seat. So we are taking our car seats from here. So we're going to be flying with those, which thankfully are free. You know, we are flying with British Airways and they're free, so we can take those with us. But these little things that, you know, you don't need to think about when you're just like an adult by yourself or a couple of adults. You don't need to think about these kind of things. But there's lots of little, yeah, difficult sort of things like that we have to think about. And then the thing I'm dreading, thing I'm worrying about a lot, is the jet lag for my children, you know, for getting used to the time difference. Personally, I've always been someone that gets over jet lag quite quickly. I've always been quite grateful for that. You know, when I've been traveling long distances before, and I've been around other people, you know, 1 week later, they still feel terrible and not sleeping very well. But I've always found that I can get into an ordinary sleeping routine very quickly, within a day or two. I don't know why. I'm just lucky in that way. I don't think it's because I've traveled a lot. I think it's just probably just a natural thing that depends on the person. But yeah, I've always found that I go over jet lag very quickly, but this time I'm going to have two little babies that don't understand the time difference, and yeah, I think that's going to be hard work. So that's going to be hard. But one thing that's going to be much easier is when I get to the other side, we're going to be staying with my mum for a while, so we don't have to think about finding an apartment and getting furniture and setting up stuff like that, because that's something in the past that's always been a lot of hard work when moving. You know, you just move somewhere and then, because when you're already in the country or in the city that you're moving to, you know, you can go and look at apartments and see if you like them, and then you can move in and you can do all the paperwork and that kind of thing. But when you're in another country, sometimes it's very hard to find an apartment. So a lot of times in the past I've had to like stay in a hotel, which can get very expensive, or like stay in an Airbnb and then like try and find an apartment and try to quickly move into one without spending too much money on a hotel. So then it's meant that sometimes I've moved into apartments that weren't ideal, but I had to quickly move in because I didn't want to keep spending money on a hotel or an Airbnb or something like that. Or perhaps, you know, sometimes I've stayed with friends and I don't want to be too much of a burden. I don't want to stay with my friend for too long, so I've just quickly moved into an apartment that wasn't the right apartment for me. So it's going to be nice this time to stay with my mum and be able to take as long as we want to get our own place and, you know, start new jobs and things like that. And yeah, actually, I don't think I talked about what my new job is going to be yet. I don't think I mentioned that. I might have mentioned it on the Patreon podcast, but I don't think I mentioned it here. So perhaps next episode I'll talk about that. So come back to find out what I'm going to be doing when I get back to the UK. So thank you all very much for listening. Hope that you're having a wonderful day. If it's your first time listening, don't forget to follow the podcast. And if you like it, please give it a review. If you're on Spotify or Apple or anywhere where you can review it, please give it 5 stars, because why wouldn't you give it 5 stars? Of course, it's a great podcast. I really appreciate it. See you all back here next time.